This is a Collider.com audio interview.
Alan, welcome back, Jim. Welcome, Jim. Were you here, Jim, for the Donner?
I was here for the Q&A, and I got to meet him and his wife afterwards. It's awesome. I was telling him that I think I was like 12 when Superman came out, and I remember my parents taking me to go see that movie, and afterwards, I was probably doing like every kid in America, my hands out front, kind of flying through the parking lot, and just wanted to thank him for that memory, not just for the movie, but the fact that it's one of the few memories I remember with my parents. And then last night, I saw X-Men First Class with our 10-year-old, and his memory was, Wolverine said the F-word. you have a different memory than I did, but it's an awesome memory, and it's good. It's all in the family.
So.
Spoiler, I
guess, 2 weeks. So good luck not knowing that Hugh Jackman did it. Sorry about that.
Sorry. It's been a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, it's fine. Hey, Jeff, I saw Lauren was talking to you. What was that all about? She had a message or something?
Well, yeah, I mean, there is some debate about whether or not Gig's been offered to direct X-Men. Lauren has asked him every time. Dick kind of did the ultimate superhero film for him, and I can see why he wouldn't want to tackle another one, but everybody would like you to.
So, there's been big news coming out of DC Comics these last few weeks. Headline after headline after headline. You've been reading about it on Hero Complex and everywhere else. It's a very exciting time, and I want to talk to you guys about that, and then we're going to have a surprise for you guys, I think, coming up here in a little bit. But let's start with Justice League number one. Now, you guys, I'm not sure there's a more celebrated writer or celebrated artist in the last few decades, and now you're going to be working on a title together. Tell us a little bit about Justice League.
Yeah, I kind of ran out of writers to work with, so I was Jeff and I have known each other for years, and he actually had written some stuff back when Wildstorm was a separate company, and we've always wanted to work together, and I think this is the project. Did it run on Batman? Did it run on Superman? But this really is the ultimate book. And when I was a huge DC fan as a little kid, Justice League, back when Kerry Bates was writing and Dick Dillon was the artist, that kind of group of characters, that kind of classic, iconic seven members, that was the run on Justice League that really inspired me, and luckily our visions somewhat matched, overlapped. So that's an awesome project.
What about the membership? Did you tell us about that, Jeff? How'd you pick the people that were in it? Was that pretty obvious, just to go back to the core?
It was pretty obvious to go back to the core. One of the things, our first arc actually is kind of the origin of the team. So it takes place in the past, and then the next arc will take place in the present. But one thing I was really interested in is how do these guys really get along? And like Green Lantern, when he first meets Batman, it's like, so what are your powers? Because you'd assume, like, if this guy is dressed up like a bat fighting bad guys, that he can't be crazy. But he's got to have powers. And so Jim and I talked a lot about what these guys, what their first opinion would be of each other. Like, if Green Lantern's on Earth to patrol for extraterrestrial trouble, what do you think of Superman? So we talked a lot about one of the lines I use in my script is, they're not gods, they're the Justice League. So what are the people like behind the masks, and how do they interact? And really, the three words I use for what we're trying to do is heart, humor, and heroics. So that's
what I'm sounds like a John Rudism. It's a joke.
That's an in-joke for DC.
Yeah.
To work with Jim, when I was first getting into X-Men, he was drawing it. And so Jim's one of the best pencilers in the history of comics, so it's an honor to work with him.
You guys have been names that comic fans know now for years, but each of you are doing something different now also. In addition to drawing and writing, you are doing other things. Jim, obviously, is co-publisher. And Jeff, you're moving in a way to Hollywood, and not moving in a way. You are moving in Hollywood. Tell us a little bit about how you sort of see your position now with the way we're going to see DC Universe on television and in film.
I moonlight as a writer now. Which is hard, but I do it. But my day job is Chief Creative Officer for DC Entertainment. I work with Diane Nelson, the president, and a great group of people there.
Diane.
It's been awesome think you did an awesome job. I've got a team and work with Diane on working with all the Warner Brothers divisions on getting, you know, DC films, television shows, animation, interactive, and even merchandise up and running. So it's been great.
And now, Jim, you got your hands full, too, because as the announcements I was referring to so cryptically, all the DC comics are starting over with number one in September, except on August 31st, if I'm right, is Justice League. And Action Comics is starting over with number one. And that's a big deal because Action Comics began in June 1938, as we mentioned earlier. It's the only comic book that's ever reached issue number 900, and you guys are renumbering it. These are big things, aren't they? There must be a lot of excitement there.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's pretty unprecedented. I mean, it's not just renumbering all these books, but it's also about going systematically through the entire DC universe and sort of re-energizing and sort of reimagining a lot of the stuff that form these characters, you know, their backstories. And it's interesting, you know, we're talking about Justice League and there's never been like a really awesome origin for the Justice League. I think there was a storyline with Wolf Treegman or something like that.
Yeah, and the wood guys.
Yeah. And then later, like I think some starfish guys attack the Earth, and that's why these characters are together. And to me, it's like a prime example of something where we can go in and maybe add something to the lore and add like a really kick-ass contemporary story that feels modern and really shows why these characters need to be together, because it's such a diverse group of heroes. They're so iconic. And so this is what we're going to be allowed, this sort of creative opportunity to go through the entire DC universe and really kind of figure out ways to make it more contemporary, more modern, and really just make it exciting and make it a great jumping on point for a lot of new readers to kind of come in. You know, I don't know how many of you guys collect comics now, but at some point, awesome. Some of you might be lapsed readers, people that used to read comics years ago and kind of fell out of the hobby. And I just remember when they relaunched Superman number one back in the days of John Byrne, that got me super excited about that storyline. And even though everyone knows the origin of Superman Inside Out, the fact that it was being done in a very contemporary fashion for that exact time period, it made it feel special, made it feel like my own version. And you know, I followed that book for years. I've collected all the Superman books. So, you know, we will look upon, hopefully, that kind of same level of excitement permeating the entire 52 books that we're launching in September.
You know, the opposite of love isn't hate. The opposite of love is apathy. You guys, you've been probably hearing some lovely, I'm sure you've been hearing some hate lately, too. I mean, a lot of people are not thrilled about all these choices.
I think, like, I remember when I wrote Green Lantern Rebirth, which brought Hal Jordan back, and people were really unhappy. Like, the hardcore fans were like, you can't do that. And we did it anyway. And I think if you do it with care and you execute it correctly, now, if you don't execute it correctly, then all bets are off. But if you do it with care and execute it correctly, then you can, you know, like, Green Lantern has had success and growth and really embrace, like, you know, embrace all the mythology and move it forward and, you know, make it contemporary, but also stay true to what the emotional ideals and the morality ideals that are in the heroes. That's the goal. The goal isn't, like, no one sets out to make people upset when they change anything, obviously. You know, it's not like, let's get people screaming by retelling the origin of the Justice League. It's like, let's try and capture the essence and what these characters can be, show how they could interact, make it just a little bit different and unexpected, you know. I think it's an exciting time, but certainly it's everybody's putting their passion into it.
And then you know, it's interesting too, the passion that people have, and they say, well, that's not my, like when they make the X-Men movie, that's not the way it is. And the funny thing is that comics are always changing. I mean, you know, if Superman never changed from 1938, he wouldn't have supervillains. He really couldn't fly. He'd be jumping buildings and stuff. It's like sand on the beach. I mean, the thing's been changing forever.
I mean, all these characters have very interesting paths. I mean, some of my favorite Superman stories are from the 50s and 60s, the Mort Weisinger era, and there's just like crazy stories that, you know, like, were they all dropping drugs back then or something? It was like really out there, imaginary type stories, and as a kid it just was very enchanting. And then later, and same thing with Batman. Batman was also very more of a capricious, whimsical type character. And then obviously in the late 60s he became more of a gritty and gritty Avenger of the night. And you really see how these iconic characters are never set in stone. They're always evolving. They're always changing. And I think that's what kind of gives us some of the bravery that we need to kind of move forward. And honestly, I don't think we would tackle something this big and risk angering so many fans without, you know, talents like Jeff involved, because he knows these characters so well inside and out, and just have this confidence that we're going to execute it correctly because of his vision for these characters. And, you know, I think it's just hard, you know, anytime you change characters that people love, you're inherently saying, hey, we're going to mess up what you love, and hopefully we give you something that you love more, and I think that's the ultimate goal.
So a couple of specific questions. So so you said Justice League takes place not contemporaneous with the other comics?
The first arc takes place in the past, then the next arc starts in the present.
Are there any other DC issues that are going to be like that you know of? Or?
Action. We actually have a message here from Grant Morrison, who is the writer on the book. Can't be a better writer for it. And the artist is Brad Morales, and they have a message here for the group here. So
we're going to watch this video from Grant Morrison talking for the first time about action, and you guys want to sit here and watch it?
Yeah, it's a big honour and responsibility to be asked by DC Comics to relaunch Action Comics number one. The first Action Comics in 1938 was the first ever superhero book, and I think what we want to do here is recreate that first ever superhero, Superman, our greatest ever idea as a human species, if you ask me, to recreate that guy for the 21st century and to do something that's a little bit new and to maybe take a new look at something that people have big preconceptions about, to change some of the basics, to reintroduce some familiar faces in very unfamiliar ways, and to try and refresh some ideas that have maybe become so well known that people think they've got it all figured out. We want to introduce a kind of take on Superman that's going to be so different that no one can expect what might happen next. And one of the things we're going to do in this book is also to show you how Superman is, who he is, why he ended up wearing the costume that he wears, and to show kind of a different side to the character than we've ever seen before. The art was going to be by Rags Morales, who a lot of people will be familiar with from Identity Crisis. And basically we want to approach this book, as the title suggests, as a big action comic, you know, to try and create a new language for comics, a new kind of velocity, a new kind of propulsive storytelling that will do what things that only comics can do and that movies can't even catch up with. So this is really, it's a big beginning, it's a new chapter for Superman, it's a new chapter for DC Comics and for the DC Universe itself, and I hope everyone's going to get involved and join us on this ridiculous voyage into the unknown.
Alan Moore, oh my gosh.
It's fascinating. Grant has come up with so many different... It's almost a different approach to writing, the way that he writes comics. Mm-hmm. Jeff, I mean, when you read a Grant comic book, what does that feel like to you? I mean, it's a different energy and rhythm.
Yeah, I mean, Grant Morrison to me is the best comic book writer, bar none. He's way up here, and then my next favorite's probably pretty far down below. But he... For me, like working with him on 52 and working with him at DC these last few years, he's just brought he makes you think differently about everything. That's kind of the thing that helps, you know, motivate me on a lot of things is the way he looks at things, and you think you've got to figure it out, and then suddenly you turn the page and it's completely different, but still true to the character, and the amount of new ideas he throws out there, it's pretty awe-inspiring.
And then, Jim, is there anything else that you wanted to tell us about stuff coming up, or just in general?
No, I mean, actually one thing I wanted to say about our September launch, we're actually also launching all our titles digital day and date, which means that they're going to be available digitally through our, you know, iPad apps and Android apps. at the same time that you can buy them in stores in print. And that's a huge, huge step forward. We're the first of the two big publishers to do something like this. And we really feel that this is an opportunity for us to reach new eyeballs, new people out there, and bring them into the fold. And we're going to put a lot of money behind this entire project. It's not just, hey, we're going to mess with what's going on in the comic books and we're going to give you digital comics. We're also going to go out there and really promote this on a national level, and combining, working with our Warner Brothers media outlet partners and really making sure that we get the word out that there's this exciting thing happening. It's all in comics, and comics are the source material for all these amazing movies that you're seeing this summer. And we really feel that this will be a huge positive step forward for the comics publishing industry.
And I got to say, at Digital Comics, when I first heard about Digital Comics, I was like, and, because I like paper comics, I have long boxes, they're heavy, but I eventually saw the app, and the way you can read them panel by panel I think is fascinating. If you guys haven't tried one, download the DC app. There's a bunch of free comics on there, but it's really worth the experience to check out what a comic book can look like when you're reading it on a digital reader or an iPad. It's just, I think it's really exciting to do it, because it changes how you think about comics, too, and what you can do, because there's motion and energy, and it's kind of a more interactive experience. You know, you want to see that next panel and the way they change and move, and you have to move the iPad around. I think there's some really cool things. We're going to experiment with a lot of new things that when you see digital, it'll be a different kind of experience reading a comic book.
And then Jeff, obviously you have a lot of things on your plate. Green Lantern coming out. Congratulations on that. And then looking forward, I know that. There's probably not a lot of things you can talk about, but as you think forward on the different television and film projects that have you most excited, what can you tell us about sort of the what's the North Star for you when you think about the way that you take these characters into another medium? I mean, what have you learned already, and what is it that you see as your big challenge moving forward?
The North Star for me right now is that a kid comes up to me and says the oath, and knows it by heart. Like I'd love to see a generation of kids find Green Lantern like I found Star Wars. That's my ultimate hope. Like I said, who's IG-88? And I bought every IG-88 figure trying to figure out who he is. I read Mind's Eye, like I was trying to figure out who's IG-88. And I want someone to do that with like Tomar Ray or whatever, and just get super obsessed with some character in the background and be like me.
That's great. Well, this is a film festival, but we really do love comics, so it's a real treat to have you both here. Thanks again for coming. Jim Lee, Jeff Johns. Thank you.